الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. أما بعد، all praise is due to Allah alone, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet after whom there is none to come, as in someone who will bring a new legislation besides the return of Jesus as a follower of Islam. The unity which was supposed to remain has been put to shame. They claim that they are the same, while in fact they proclaim the opposite of what is expected. Their tenets are neglected. In retrospective, they are hyperactive for no good reason. Welcome to this Monday's lecture, How We Separated to See the Treason. They were supposed to be love and unity. They were supposed to be a direction that is common, a goal which is shared, an objective which is striven for, but somehow we separated. And we know that we separated. Everybody knows we separated. But many people don't know why or how we separated. So the objective of this night's or tonight's lecture is to address that very critical issue of how we separated. Because when we understand that, then we can understand the vast difference which exists between that which was supposed to be unified. Furthermore, it is good for us and it is good for them. So they will know what substantiates our claims. Are they just empty words that we throw out in the air? Or are they based on facts which we can refer to their own scriptures and their own references? And so we ask Allah to facilitate and aid in this endeavor. Before I initiate that very delicate and sensitive discussion, I wish to remind everyone who is listening now or will listen to the future in regards to the manner in which people perceive things. Human beings primarily understand things in one of two ways: intellectually or emotionally. When they understand things intellectually, we have no problem. When they understand things intellectually, we have no problem. The only issue we may face is lack of intellect. Some people are just not intelligent enough. But when we deal with people who understand things emotionally, then we have a calamity. We have a disaster of immense magnitude. And you can talk and reason and talk and reason and try to rationalize things, but they just don't make any sense to someone who is emotional. Just like when someone is angry with someone and they want to beat them up, and everyone is around and saying, "Relax, take it easy, leave it alone. What are they doing? Get off me. Move away. Move out of my way." He wants to hit that person. It could be his dad. It could be his mom. It could be someone, a police officer. It could be someone who, the last thing you want to do on earth is get down with someone like that. But at that moment, this person is not understanding. And no matter who comes to calm them down, their brains are shut down. Their emotions are running high. This is the same reason why people commit crime. This is the same reason why a parent will beat their infant, because they were upset. Even though under the normal circumstances, no parent will beat a one-year-old child so that they hurt them. Because what is a one-year-old child, a child going to do to you? He doesn't understand. She doesn't understand. They cry. That's the only means of expression they have. So any reaction that is negative is really based on emotionalism. And then when that parent beats that child, an hour later they say, "Whoa, how did I do that? Why did I do that? What was wrong with me?" They say, "You were not you really thinking. You were being emotional." So I beg for the sake of Allah, not for any other reason. Otherwise you don't have to beg anyone. But for the sake of your own good, after being for the sake of Allah, I beg people to really set aside their emotions for the next hour or so. and try to reason with your intellect. If intellectually you disagree, hey, I've done my job and you've done your job. But if you don't do so and you emotionally reject that, you will be held accountable for that choice on the day of resurrection. Because God, besides giving you emotions, gave you intellect, so you may utilize it. Otherwise, if emotions are used without intellect, we become like some animals who are very good at being emotional. A cat may be compassionate towards its kittens and a dog to its puppies, and you've seen that. They've even showed on YouTube a tiger taking care of a monkey after they killed its own mother. Okay, it felt compassion towards a monkey, a tiger. So that doesn't really mean anything. But the intellect is what makes you and I who we are. So who am I talking about anyways? Who are these things that separated and how come and why and who? And I would ask that noise to stop, please. Whatever that bag is that one child is making noise with, you can take that out later. Jameel, please stop it. Otherwise, this lecture will fail. I'm the worst person in the world when it comes to noise. Yes, that just kill that bag. Hide it somewhere. Now, so who are these things or what are these things? It's none but Islam and Christianity. Whoa. Yep, there you have it. Islam and Christianity. We were supposed to be on the same page, you know. At the end of the day, there isn't a religion on earth that believes in Jesus, but Islam and Christianity, obviously. Even though we differ on who he is, we will discuss that. But who else, oh Christians, share with you the sentiments about Jesus? No one. No one. Not the Jews, not the Hindus, not the Buddhists, obviously not the atheists, agnostics, and the list goes on. Only we have a common denominator between us, which actually wind up separating us. And we came together through Jesus, and then we wind up going in opposite directions through the same man. Jesus. May Allah exalt his mention and peace be upon him. So Islamic Christianity, you know, they're just these two religions that have been conflicting with one another ever since Islam came to the scene. And some people think that Islam came to kind of take away the attention or to take the attention or from the Christian world, the Christendom, and to acquire it all for themselves or keep it for themselves. But the truth is, it's all from God. It's from Allah. This is not some political game that human beings were playing in the name of the Creator. This is per revelation that God revealed to His creation, particularly the messengers, through angels who delivered it, the same angel which we are familiar with, so that this message can continue, not separate. It was supposed to continue, and it did, with some, and for some time. But with many, it is not the case. So what am I going to discuss? I'm going to discuss the fact that we separated from one another because of what we believe. Primarily, because of what we believe. Now obviously the behavior is a byproduct of belief. Your behavior, the way you conduct yourself, the language which you use, which we got a lot of it in during Christmas, a lot of the language which you use is based on your belief. Your faith will restrict you from violating people's, you know, rights and honor so that you don't use language which is insulting. Now, of course, if someone doesn't have the right faith, this is not a big deal. They say whatever they like because they don't fear accountability. They don't think that it's going to really be taken into account. Come on, who cares what I say? When it comes to Islam, we say, we know we have two angels writing down everything you say. مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ He doesn't even utter a single word except that there's an angel observing, close writing down the information. And so you all know the evidences for that. We came together through the names. We separated in the essence. Face value, Muslims and Christians believe in Creator. They believe in angels. They believe in messengers. They believe in scriptures. They believe in the last day. And of course the decree, supposedly. in face value. If you just look at it by titles, you say, yeah, we're the same. So where's the issue? The issue is, how do we believe about these things? Or what is our belief? Let's define it. Now, when we define it, we have a number of ways. I, as a Muslim, can bring things from my own mind. Can just sit here and fabricate things. Well, I think Islam says this, and by the way, we believe this. And I can give you things with no reference, which will leave you in doubt. Is this guy genuine? Is he a liar? Is he an imposter? Is he just kept coming up with things on his own? Becomes difficult to verify. And when I do that, if I were to move on to Christianity and tell you also my views, then obviously that will still be very much doubtful, particularly to the non-Muslim audience, because I can probably have the audacity to lie even more and just come up with different things that make him look bad. So that is not really a decent approach, because it will not resolve any problems. What is the best solution? Quote from their own sources. Not me, not Muslim scholars. No, what your scriptures say, I will only share it with you. Why? Why does a Muslim have to share information in the Bible with a Christian? Because many Christians don't read the Bible. So it becomes our duty to tell you what's there, because maybe someone in the church is not doing that. Now, we assume the best about him or her, be it a nun or a priest, but at the end of the day, the people have the right to hear the whole scripture. Don't you hear the whole Quran in Ramadan? You do? Do people try to hide, say, don't read the surah? Be careful of this ayah? No. We are blunt and straightforward. We don't zigzag and play games. Look, this is what the Quran says. Read the whole thing. This is what the hadith says, authentic. Read the whole thing. We have nothing to hide. People may disagree. Fine. Because of their whatever reasons, their theology which shapes their views. Fine. But we present everything in front of everyone. We don't have anything to hide. That is not the way or the case with other faiths and religions. They do seem to try to keep things on the side as not to, cause a problem for the audience. So then it becomes our duty to do the job. Not to insult anyone. Allah is our witness. Look, if we wanted to insult anyone, we would have used the same language which is used against Islam and the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam, and we would have insulted everybody, but we don't go down to this level. We just don't. We don't like it. Because it is not from the way of the prophets to insult in this manner. Now, sometimes truth is insulting. It's one thing when you insult someone by verbally abusing them, you are a da-da-da-da-da. And it's another thing to say, look, this is a fact. And he gets insulted by the fact. But that's not your problem. His problem is with the fact, not with you. So sometimes the things which we say may appear to be insulting, but we don't want them to be insulting. We want them to be enlightening. Let them enlighten your mind and intellect, so you will see what's on the other side of the coin. So let's begin with what? What is the first pillar of Iman, O Muslims? The first pillar of Iman. Belief in Allah. And tu'mina billah. طيب. To believe in Allah. We have a very precise and concise and accurate, unambiguous definition and explicit terms about who Allah is. Anyone on earth who reads the Quran does not have to wonder or speculate about who is this creator. Because it is laid out in the most eloquent, most evident manner ever. No scripture has been able, obviously, to come even near to Islam when it tells you who your God is. And I'm only using the term God so we can communicate on some ground, on some level. Otherwise, Allah is the most befitting name for the Creator for reasons which everyone knows by now. So Islam tells us who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And so we learn, just on the three basic levels, that Allah Azza wa Jal first and foremost is the creator, sustainer of the heavens and the earth. He's the provider, he's the cherisher, he's the arranger of affairs, and these are things which no one shares with him. End of story. End of dialogue. Believe it or not, these are not the same beliefs amongst other religions or even Christianity. until today, many Christians say that Jesus is the creator. Jesus was the creator. Besides, of course, the complication of the Father, who's the Son, and how the Son is the incarnate of the Father, yet He is the Son of God, yet He is God, yet He is with the Holy Trinity or the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, comprising a triune God. All these complications which require the most intelligent person on earth to figure out, and they still can't figure it out. All of this already is an issue. And then we have an issue of how to bring a relation between all these conflicting ideas, such as Jesus being the creator. So in Islam, we believe that there's only one creator. That creator is not our father. Keyword, not. Not our father. Because fathers have to be of the same nature of their children. And that is clear. Now, if someone wants to take a philosophical route to prove otherwise, they have to delve into metaphor. You may metaphorically say, this is my, father, or a father says to a young man, this is my son, as in this is a young man in comparison to me. Just like a man says, my son, can you hand me, an old man may say, can you hand me this tissue? And he doesn't mean that you're his son. Metaphor. So the only explanation is metaphorical explanation. Biological, khalas. Fathers, mom and dad have to bring something like them. If it is not, it is abnormal. And it just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. They must be of the same essence. And so here, we have a creator who obviously is unique and does not have any children whatsoever. So Allah says, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدٍ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. Say, proclaim before the people, don't hide it, don't be shy, don't try to make him happy by hiding your religion, don't sugarcoat. Say, proclaim, it is Allah who is one. And أحد actually is not like واحد. واحد is one. أحد is unique in his oneness. And that only the Arabic language presents. The English language, you'll have to come up with, like I did now, 4 or 5 words, almost a sentence, to only use the Arabic word or to define or translate the Arabic word, أحد. Allah didn't say, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ وَاحِدٌ قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. أحد means one that is unique, meaning there's no two after him, and that there's no other أحد like him, in this sense. سبحانه وتعالى. Allahu Samad, Allah is the most absolute. And the definition given by the scholars is, everything depends on Him while He depends on none. Everything depends on Him. He doesn't depend on anything. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. He neither begat nor was He begotten. He didn't give any children nor anyone give birth to Him. Wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad. And there's none comparable unto Him. There's just nothing like Him. That is a very clear definition of who the Creator is. Maintaining His oneness and His uniqueness on all fronts. Being the Creator, having no children, and no one sharing His names and attributes. Now, for example, Allah says in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبٍ. And verily we have created the heavens and the earth and whatever is between them in 6 days, and no fatigue touched us. You know when you get tired? Fatigue. It's a form of tiredness. Allah said none of that touched us, not alone affected us, not even touch. Massana. And mass is lighter than mask. Tumsik shay, you hold it. Mass is like a little touch. None of that happened. But you go to the Bible, and then it says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, by the seventh day, God completed His work which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all the work which He had done. So rest is attributed to God. Does God need to rest? Since when does God rest? The whole idea of God is one who does not have any needs. He's free of needs. Resting is a need which affects a human being after he gets tired, and so rest becomes necessary to recuperate. And so to be attributed to God is a serious issue. Then that's not only that. In Exodus chapter 31 verse 17 it says, "For in 6 days Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." So in addition to the resting, there's also being refreshed. So we say as Muslims, we have strong reservations in regards to attributing such deficient qualities to God, to Allah. And the irony in all this, the irony, and I'm going to quote more things. Actually, before I give you the irony, let me quote more things. In Isaiah chapter 42 verse 13 it says, "The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man." This is some of the anthropomorphic conceptions of God in Christianity. Anthropomorphic meaning God having human qualities. That's anthropomorphism. "The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealously like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar." Roar. Like that other kingdom. "He shall prevail against his enemies." In Isaiah chapter 7 verse 20, according to the King James Version, "In the same day shall the Lord shave with a razor that is hired, namely by them beyond the river, by the king of Assyria, the head and the hair of the feet, and it shall also consume the beard." God is going to use a razor to shave. Exodus 32, 14, "And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people." God repented. You're smiling because the way Allah created us, our natural disposition and innate rejects this to the extent that when you hear it, you can't help but laugh. Even though you don't want to, because it's sad. But as they say, you know, some things are so overboard that it puzzles your mind and you just crack a smile. Unintentionally. I know you smiled unintentionally because when I read them, I had the same, repent, God will repent. That means that there's some sort of conflict over there. Meaning there's wrong decisions being made. Does that remind you of the Shia? Where they claim that, mistakes were made? Same thing. Now you know where they got it from. Exodus 33:23, "And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but face shall not be seen." This is according to them, God speaking to Moses, telling him, "You will see my back parts, but you will not see my face." In Samuel 15:35, "And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel." Again, a wrong decision, according to them, that Saul shouldn't have been appointed as a king over Israel. So when all that happened, according to them, God repented. Again, in Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, it says, "And they heard," speaking about Adam and Eve in paradise, "and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and asked him, 'Where are you?'" So they claim that God was walking in Jannah, and then he was fetching for Adam and Eve, and they were able to hide from him, and he's asking them, "Where are you?" In Genesis chapter 6 verse 6 it says, "And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart." He regretted creating human beings so much that he grieved to his heart. Such a bad move, according to them. Now you know what's amazing? You know where I got this from? Bible search. You go on Google, put Bible search, and you get 3 to 4 websites, very famous websites. When you go on the, of course I got this from the Islamic references, where they already summarize for you some of these weird things. If you were to search, if you put in, and check it out for yourself, so you know I'm saying the truth, inshallah. You go to any of these Bible searches, which will come up on the first Google page. Click anyone you want and go to the search and put Samuel 15:35, Genesis, whatever you want. And the result will say no results. There are no results for the search that you are searching. And I was shocked. I put one verse after the other. I look at the Islamic page. It says, you know, Genesis 6:6. I put it in the Bible, in the Bible search, Genesis, and right spelling, right everything, right format. No results. So I figured, hey, what's something is fishy here. I clicked on the actual books of the Bible. I figured instead of search, let me go look for it with my own self. I put Genesis chapter 6. Then it put chapter 6. I scroll down. There you have it. So all of them, which you, if you were to search for, it will tell you that this doesn't exist in the Bible. But when you go look through the actual page, all of them actually existed in the Bible. And I copied and pasted them just so you can see them right here. Copy and paste from a Bible search. So what struck me is perhaps, the IP from Saudi appears. And they know that someone may be using these against them, so they do not allow them to have access to these verses. It makes it appear that they do not exist in the Bible, so that the person will say, the Muslims are lying. But when you go search for it, you have no problem finding it. In fact, when I search for other verses that are not controversial, I found them as well. And I ask why. What are you afraid of? What's wrong? Why can't you give us access to this information? Why do you have to go and look through the page and scroll down to find the verse there? But when I put it in the search, it doesn't exist. I mean, if you got something to hide, that's a sign that there's something wrong. Why are you doing that? I don't know. They didn't tell me. Anywho, one of the crucial differences we have in regards to the names and attributes of Allah, because we just said we believe Allah Azza wa Jal, laysa kamithlihi shay. There's nothing like unto Him. Nothing like unto Him. So He doesn't share His qualities with His creatures in the ultimate sense. Whereas we learn that here God gets tired, refreshed, repents, and does different things that are human, that are anthropomorphic. In our religion, we say no. So we differ with them on this particular point, which is a very delicate one. But how about the actual oneness of God as a creator and in terms of the right to be worshipped, known as rububiyyah and uluhiyyah? Now you know and I know that because Allah is the only creator, He's the only one deserving of what? Worship. One creator doesn't have partners, so you worship the one creator and you don't worship any partners because He doesn't have any. See how basic it is? One God, no partners. So you worship the God or partners who don't exist, no partners. So if you create a partner, say, but try to put up with God and let me worship this partner, you have committed the most major sin a human being can commit. First, you've ascribed a partner to God, which is not your right. And then you insist on worshiping them to get to God when He told you, I don't have anything that would bring you to Me. You have a direct access. So we come to the issue of Trinity. And if you listen to some of these Christian apologetics, like Dr. William Lane Craig, he has a debate where he says to the people that the Muslim conception of God is morally deficient. And so it is not rational to him, and so he rejects it. While he claims that the Trinity is logical and it is morally acceptable, and so he accepts it. So even though we're looking at it like, are you serious? You're going to tell me that Tawheed is morally deficient and Trinity is not, while we have everything in the world indicating otherwise? And he's not the only one. James White and all these people, I've been listening to them recently, and I'm just shocked at what the kind of message they're trying to deliver to the people, where they make it seem to the average people that we Muslims are crazy for believing in one God, and that you're supposed to believe in Trinity. And that Trinity is the normal, natural disposition, default state of the children of Adam, to believe in a Trinitarian concept and a triune God. But let me tell you something. It says, according to the Athanasian Creed, the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Ghost is God, and yet they are not three gods, but one God. I repeat. The Father is God. The Son is God. And the Holy Ghost is God, yet, very interesting, yet. You really need it in the sentence, actually. They are not three gods, but one God. We've dealt with this in other lectures, but we said grammatically this is wrong. Mathematically, this is wrong. Biblically, this is wrong. Quranically, a new English word, this is wrong. Logically, this is wrong. Historically, this is wrong. And if there were other things to mention, I would also say them and say, this is wrong. But there's nothing left. If the Bible and the Quran and logic and history and math and English, all of them say this is wrong, I don't really think we need anything else. Or even if something else existed, it cannot endorse this idea. Let's be real. And Mr. James White, in his talks, you know, he's trying to push this idea about Trinity. And then what is the conclusion? The conclusion is, even Christians don't understand it. He's actually blaming Christians for not being able to defend their religion against Islam. For not being able to, so he's worried. That's why he said he debates with Muslims. And that's why he's always trying to, you know, have these debates with Muslims. So he can protect the Christian audience from the deviance of Islam. Because he admitted that the Christians themselves do not really have the right understanding of Trinity. And I'm saying to myself, of course, man. It seems that only you and a few other people on earth who seem to have the understanding. Are you trying to tell me that God will have salvation depending on something that makes sense to 10 individuals or 20 or even 30? Or would that concept be universal and easily accessible and very logical to any human being? It's the other one. So the very claim that Christians themselves don't understand it is actually substantiating our contentions, which is there's something wrong. There's something seriously wrong in this idea. And so the Holy Trinity, it says the three persons are co-equal, co-eternal. Co-equal. Co-eternal. Jesus died, but they're co-eternal. Jesus was born, but they're co-eternal. They're co-equal also. This is co-eternal. Co-equal, Jesus said, the Father is greater than I. The Father is greater than I. And we're going to, yani, for the benefit of the doubt, the term Father, as we know, is used in the Bible to refer to the Creator, because everyone is the Son of God. Israel is the son of God, and Ephraim is the son of God, and David is the son of God, and in fact everybody is the son of God. So the whole idea of Father, Son does not have to be understood in that literal sense as the people trying to push it. And so it says they're co-equal, all alike, are uncreated and omnipotent. This is according to the Catholic Encyclopedia. All of them are uncreated. Thus the Trinity is considered to be one God in three persons. Now, there's only one verse in the whole Bible called which supports the Christian dogma. There's only one verse, by the way. All the other ones just don't make it. They just can't be proof. The only one, which is in the first epistle of John, chapter 5, verse 7, it says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. You scared? Are you scared? Don't be scared. Go to the bookstore, buy the Revised Standard Version of the Bible, look for this verse. Guess what? It's not there. Not there. They took it out. You will not find this in most Bibles. Most Bibles, they took it out. And you know what they did? You know what they did? Now this is 5:7. You're supposed to not find it. They went to another verse and they split it so that it appears that nothing was taken out. So you will still find 5:7. Otherwise, if you remove a verse, the number of verses in that chapter will decrease. And the one who had memorized the number of verses, hey, what happened? It used to be, for example, 44, now it's 43. No, they went to another verse earlier on. They split it into two and they took this one out. Gone with the wind, baby. Yeah, well, you know why? Because they... Dr. C.I. Schofield, he's a doctor in divinity. He backed by eight other doctors in divinity. In a footnote of this verse, he said, "It is generally agreed that this verse has no manuscript authority and has been inserted." They couldn't find a way to endorse Trinity, so they said, "Let's just put this verse in." Then their own scholar said, "No, take it out." Isn't it amazing how Allah makes the signs clear? انظر كيف نبين لهم الآيات ثم انظر أن يؤفكون. Look how we make the signs clear to them, then look how they turn away. It's your own scholars that said we have to take this one out of the Bible, not Muslims who said, hey, we oppose this. We had nothing to do with it. But people don't want to listen sometimes because their emotions are running high. But hey, we said, please come. Come and reason, man. Come and reason so things will make sense. And so Allah tells us, in explicit terms, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَةٌ وَمَا مِنْ إِلَهٍ إِلَّا إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَنْتَهُوا عَمَّا يَقُولُونَ لَيَمَسَّنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Then Allah so mercifully said, أَفَلَا يَتُوبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَهُ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. They have disbelieved those who say that Allah is one third of the Trinity, while there isn't any other God except the one true God. There's no other ilah except Allah. And if they do not stop, if they do not desist in regards to that which they're saying, then verily a severe punishment shall afflict those who disbelieve among them. But Allah is so merciful that even though they've committed this heinous crime, this obnoxious crime, he said in the very next verse, do they not repent to Allah and seek His forgiveness? And Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. So Allah is opening the door for them to come return. Stick to what Jesus said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength." Come on. And look at the pronoun he used, if you know English. The Lord, our God. When you use our, meaning you are included in the speech. If I say your hospital is nice, that means I'm a visitor. If I say our hospital is nice, meaning I work here. So Jesus is not telling him our God, meaning He's my God and your God, like He said it in other verses in the Bible. So you have to stick to that, otherwise it's dangerous. Allah says, لَا تَقُولُوا ثَلَاثَ إِنْتَهُ خَيْرًا لَكُمْ. Don't say Trinity, don't say three. Desist, it is much better for you. It is much better for you. You don't understand what's at stake. The people don't understand what's at stake. Look, the very conflict between truth and falsehood from the beginning of time until the end of time has been won. Has been won. The worship of the one true God versus polytheism. That polytheism manifests in paganism, idolatry, worship of the statues, in worshiping God, attributing children to God, daughters of God, parents of God, whatever form it takes, at the end of the day, it all is categorized under the column of falsehood. Whereas the truth has always been what every prophet taught their people. There's only one God. Worship Him alone. Be good. Do righteous deeds. You will enter paradise. They make fun of us that we actually believe that righteous deeds will lead you to paradise. They think we're crazy. They say, because you're not really getting any mercy from God, you have to earn it. Say, yes. Did anyone give you the degree as a doctor without you earning it? Just when you showed up and smiled, said, okay, what a lovely guy. Here's your PhD. No one happened. That never happened to someone. And if they did, everybody else would complain. Say, hey man, I've been studying here for 4 years. I gave you $50,000. You give him a PhD because he looks nice. So what? Yes, God wants you to earn paradise. But you won't earn it without His mercy. This is the part that either deliberately or mistakenly they take out. The Prophet ﷺ said, none of you shall enter paradise because of his deeds alone. They said, not even you, O Messenger of Allah, said, not even me, unless Allah encompasses me with His mercy. This is the part that they leave behind. We don't think that our deeds are like currency, money, where you can, you go to the shop, say, look, I have the right to buy this product. Here's the money, give me the product. This is not how we deal with our Creator. We believe that without His mercy, our deeds will be of no value. But we believe our value are the ticket to paradise, but the entrance is through the mercy and grace of Allah. And that is ideal. That is logical. That is just. That is fair. That is beautiful. But to claim otherwise is injustice. God is, He loves everyone. And so He gave His only begotten Son so that He dies for the people and everybody goes in. That's one claim. Then when you come say, okay, we Muslims, are we going to join you guys over there? Say, oh no. No, you're not going to paradise. Why? I thought God loved everyone. Yeah, but you didn't accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. So then God doesn't love everyone. You understand what I'm saying? No, these things are so basic to us. But believe it or not, I listen to these people debating. And I'd be driving my car. I'm like, either I'm crazy, which I'm not, alhamdulillah, and we're not. Or this is something really wrong. This thing doesn't seem to make sense to these people. They argue, I don't know about what. And you and I can say, come on, man, this is logic. You know why? Wallahi, not because we're intelligent, because Allah guided us. It's because Allah, alhamdulillah, Allah so merciful, ya akhwan, we understand things that people really don't understand. They're doctors, they're philosophers, they've written books, and they can't understand ABC. To us, this is ABC, they can't understand ABC. They always talk about Z and Y. Come back, yeah, Captain. Come back to the beginning, man. Stop telling me about bil, bil, bal, bal. You're talking about the logical fallacy. You began your argument by saying the blah, blah, with the choke. Give you all these complicated words. Hey, man, stop. Stop, man. Tell me there's one God or three gods. What are you talking about? Don't be taking me to the ocean and, you know, bringing me back thirsty, as they say. Just give me basic information. Not everyone is as intelligent as you. And God is not going to receive send a revelation that is incompatible with average human beings. It has to be logical to the regular person. Not everyone is going to go to Harvard and graduate with a PhD and then understand the concept of God, which you try to explain over and over again, and we just don't get it. You explain it to the Christians, they don't get it. You explain it to the Muslims, they don't get it. You explain it to anyone, they just don't get it. Some people just say, okay, man, you gave me a headache, fine. Which is the average Christian reaction. I don't have to understand it, I just believe. And that's giving up. But try to make logic out of it, you can't. Tayyib, even though much can be said about this particular aspect of the discussion, I have to skip it and move on to the belief in, number two, sir, belief in angels. According to the Muslims, the angels are creation made out of light. They do not need to eat or drink. They do not disobey Allah. لَا يَعْسُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ They do not disobey Allah in regards to any command He gives them, and they do everything they are commanded. They are not little babies, you know, that are half naked with little wings flying around as it is depicted in some of the religions, particularly Christianity. And we don't believe that they are divided into good angels and bad angels or evil angels. All angels are good by default. They don't have the free will which we have. However, in Christianity, they have the evil angels Abaddon and Apollyon, according to Revelation chapter 9, verse 11. Of course, you all know Lucifer. So the idea that angels are fallen angels, which are good angels like Iblis, and they say that he fell out, you know, because he didn't obey, and so he became the evil or the bad angel, in Islam is no, not the case. Because Allah says, what does Allah say in Surah Al-Kahf? وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ And mentioned when we said to the angels, prostrate before Adam, so they prostrated except Iblis, he was among the jinn. Smokeless fire. They are creation made of smokeless fire. They are not identical to angels. So he was never an angel according to Islam. He was in the ranks of angels in worship to Allah because of his proclaimed righteousness in the beginning and that he was pious before his true colors appeared when he disobeyed God and he was arrogant and you know the story. But before that, he was never an angel. So we differ on that very basic level, and that really creates a bunch of conflicts when you say that there are bad angels. So that's a major difference in creed between Islam and Christianity, and that's how we separate it in regards to angels. How about the beliefs in the books? The scriptures. Allah says in the Quran, نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ بِالْحَقِّ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ وَأَنْزَلَ التَّوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ He has sent down upon you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the book in truth, confirming what was before it, and He revealed the Torah and the Gospel. So Allah said He revealed the Torah and the Gospel. The Gospel of who? The Gospel of who? Matthew? Mark? Luke? John? No. No, Habib. Who are these people according to historians and Christian theologians? Anonymous. They don't know who Matthew is, nor Mark, nor Luke, nor John. Maybe they were disciples. Maybe this, maybe that. It's all speculation. Not from Islam. Go back to the Christian references. They really don't know who these people are. So when we speak of the Gospel, Al-Injil, Injil Isa, not the Bible you have today. The Bible you have today is a compilation of the Old Testament, the New Testament, which has the four Gospels and the letters that Paul wrote. And you know what Paul wrote? What Paul wrote negates everything in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Because he shaped Christianity as we know it today. The Pauline, you know, conception of Christianity is all the fabrication of Paul. Saul, really, who was a Jew, and he was persecuting the Christians. All of a sudden, he sees Jesus on the way of Damascus, and he becomes the apostle, Paul, representing Christianity. And so he says, you don't have to get circumcised, and you don't have to do this, and the law is drawn. The law was nailed on the cross with Jesus. Jesus died for you. All of these ideas which were endorsed in the Nicene, in the Nicene 325 conference, or whatever that term is that they used, all this came about. It was the ideas of Paul integrated with the Greeks and the Romans and paganism and idolatry, all of them, you know, mumbo jumbo stuff, boom, and there you have it. So now this represents the church and the church teachings. So the scriptures that they have are obviously not the ones. And I will give you some quotations. Also, Allah gave the Psalms to David. وَأَتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ زَبُورًا رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَعَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَفْوًا. Allah says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Do they not look carefully into the Quran? Do they not reflect? Do they not consider the Quran carefully? Had it been from other than Allah, they would have found therein much discrepancy or differences. This is a powerful, powerful, powerful ayah that no book can present and be able to back up. The Bible claims the same thing, that this cannot be done to the Bible, but we will prove otherwise. But the Quran is the only scripture with that claim and the actual backup. Backing up factually. Not theoretically, no, factually, there's no contradiction in the Quran. And any contradiction which anyone presents, we will be able to answer it on the spot. And we will prove how this is a misunderstanding of the Arabic language or misunderstanding of the principles of Islam. There's no contradiction. Allah is our witness. Anything they bring has been answered. Walillahi alhamd. But when it comes to the other way around, we're going to see something different. Something different. Before that, Allah says, "Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun." It is we who have sent down this reminder, the Quran, and we shall be preserving and protecting it. Alhamdulillah, 1400 years into this revelation, the Quran has not, and will not be changed. Look how much they hate Islam. You guys have no idea, unless you're involved in da'wah. Unless you're involved in da'wah, dealing with these ones and these ones and those ones and these ones and this and that, you will not know how much people hate Islam. You will be shocked, actually, at the level of hatred the non-Muslims have toward us. It's beyond, it's indescribable. I can't use words. Wallahi, Allah is my witness and Naif is a witness after Allah. The things which I get and the things which I'm dealing with right now is blowing my mind. I never thought, I guess I was fooled, that people hated Islam so much. Ya Jama'ah, they hate us with the passion. And they hate the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the passion. And they hate the teachings of Islam with the passion. Illa man rahima Rabbi. Some of them are moderate, but they are a minority. The rest are just out there trying to attack us, man. You see all the videos about, there's so much on YouTube, on Facebook, against the Prophet ﷺ. You will think no one will speak like this about a Prophet of Allah. In fact, we Muslims have never done that. But we will see what the scriptures have to say in regards to that. Ala kulli hal, despite their dissatisfaction, يُرِيدُونَ أَن يُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. They want to extinguish the light of Allah with their mouths by saying things that are not true, and Allah shall complete His light even if the disbelievers hate it. So, sorry to you, it's going to happen. You're afraid of us? but we will be there. You want us to disappear? We will not. We shall remain until the end of time, right there in your face. We hope that you will make the right decision and stop playing games with yourself and your religion and with your life to come. We're nice people. Don't think I'm threatening you here or trying to tell you that we're going to do something bad to you. No, no, we're just going to talk to you. We're just going to talk to you with the truth, which you can't handle. Which you can't handle. I'm telling it to you right in your face. You think we're scared? We are not scared. We hear what you're saying. We know how you feel. And we know that Allah promised us the opposite of what you wish. So no matter how bad you wish for it, it's not going to happen. This brings us such satisfaction, only Allah knows. Because you can talk to the people back and forth and they say, gir gir katir. But the truth is, you can't stop it. You just can't. And so alhamdulillah that we are part of that, which is unstoppable. Now we continue here with our discussion. On the, we said they believe in the books. Now listen to this. let me tell you some things that exist in the Bible. The so-called unchanged word of God. In Proverbs chapter 7 verse 7. And lo, old English, you know. A woman meets him dressed as a harlot. Harlot is prostitute. Willy of heart, she seizes him and kisses him. Come, let us take our fill of love till the morning. Let us delight ourselves with love, for my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. Wonderful message delivered to the people. And you wonder why people have sexual relations, you know, and cheat on each other all day. Because if they were to go by their scripture, it's fine. There's a lady. No commentary, no God saying this is no good, nothing. That's not the only thing. The Songs of Solomon is a book of flirtation. It's all about this kind of stuff. And there's more, but yani, out of consideration for your for the children that may be here and your feelings, I'm not going to go into the very things there. But we will go back to it in the messengers, the belief in the prophets and messengers. But let me tell you some contradictions in the Bible which you will not find in Islam. The genealogy of Joseph, not Jesus. They call it the genealogy of Jesus, but it just turns out otherwise. In Matthew chapter 1 verse 18, the genealogy of Jesus contains 28 names of his fathers. Pay close attention. 28 names of his fathers. And the father of Joseph is Jacob. So Jesus has 28 fathers, 28 names of his fathers mentioned. And the father of Joseph is Jacob. If you go to Luke chapter 3 verse 23, the genealogy of Jesus contains 42 different names. If you're good at math, what's the difference between 42 and 28? I guess you're not good at math. 14. It has 42 different names of the fathers of Jesus than we find in Matthew. And the father of Joseph is Heli or Heli, however you like to pronounce it, no issue. So a man who supposedly have, who God is his father, has now 42 different fathers in Luke and 28 in Matthew. And this is, by the way, things which you really can't really have an issue of yani, trying to bring a relation between them. Like, for example, there are some ayat in the Quran which appear to be conflicting, but there's harmony between them when you know the context. This is fact. You know, my father's name is, for example, As'ad. And or your father's name is John. And that cannot be John and Jupiter and, you know, they seven different names. And say, well, maybe, you know, this and that. Maybe he was, there's no baby. It's just you have names, man. You know, this is your family tree. This is something that you can't really be interpreting in many different ways. So this is amazing, you know, just in regards to Jesus himself, this is a conflict. And the contradictions are many, 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 which I don't have to share with you. Ahmad Didat, rahimahullah, and may Allah overlook his errors and shortcomings, has a book called the, what? You don't know it? Combat Kit, right? And so he gives you everything you need to know in regards to these contradictions in that book. You can find it easily on the internet. Now here we're going to come to something very critical, the belief in the messengers. For us Muslims, as Allah said, we believe in all of them, right? Allah says, قُولُوا أَمَنَّ بِاللَّهِ وما أنزل إلينا وما أنزل إلى إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق ويعقوب والأسباط وما أوتي موسى وعيسى وما أوتي النبيون من ربهم لا نفرق بين أحد منهم ونحن له مسلمون. الله أكبر. Say, O believers, we have believed in Allah and what has been revealed to us and what has been revealed to Abraham and Ishmael and Isaac and Jacob and the descendants and what was given to Moses and Jesus and what was given to the prophets from their Lord. We make no distinction between any of them and we are Muslims in submission to Him, to Allah. Alhamdulillah, we make no distinction. The only people on earth who believe in every messenger Allah sent and have no ill feelings towards them are the Muslims. Hello, join the crowd. No issue. Do you have any issue with any prophet? Do you? Do you? I didn't think so. Because some say, oh, I don't like, you know, this one prophet. No, I don't think he's a... If a Muslim said this, you will say he's not. First, the first thing is, are you a Muslim? We will reject this in totality. This very idea is so repulsive to us that those whom Allah chose, you're speaking like about them like regular people, this is rejected. But guess what, guys? I'm going to show you something that is devastating. Before that, Allah says about them, just to see what we believe about them. وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِمْ فِعْلَ الْخَيْرَاتِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ وَكَانُوا لَنَا عَابِدِينَ. And we made them leaders, guiding by our command. And we inspired them the doing of good deeds. Establishment of prayer and giving the zakah, the charity. And they were worshippers of us. They were ever enslaved to us. Genesis chapter 9, verse 21. Noah drank the wine and became drunk. And he laid uncovered in his tent. Uncovered meaning naked. And Ham, his son, saw the nakedness of his father. What do you say? A'udhu billah. Allah is going to send a man to guide the people to the worship of the one God. He will get drunk and lie naked on the floor. Do you think if that was the case, don't the people have the right to reject him? They do. Because some of them say, I don't even do this. I'm a regular man and I don't do this. So this very idea disqualifies him from being a messenger to begin with, because that is something that is abhorrent per human standards, let alone messengership. That's not the only thing. Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 22. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul, and he too stripped off his clothes, and he too prophesied before Samuel and lay naked all the day and all the night. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 20, David dances naked before the people and before the Lord. He dances naked. Dawood alayhi salatu salam. It gets worse. Lot in Arabic is Lut alayhi salam. Genesis chapter 19, verse 30. Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the hills with his two daughters. Two daughters. And the firstborn said to the younger, the older one said to the younger, our father is old and is not a man on earth to come to us sexually. After the man of all the earth, because of what happened. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve offspring through our father. So they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went and lay with her father. He did not know when she lay down or when she arose. On the next day, the firstborn said to the younger, behold, I lay last night with my father. Let us make him drink wine tonight also. Then you go in and lie with him, that we may preserve offspring through our father. So they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him. And he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Thus both the daughters of Lot were with child by their father. Judah had sexual relations with his daughter-in-law according to Genesis chapter 38 verse 15. And David had one with his neighbor's wife according to 2 Samuel chapter 11 verse 1. So the elite of the prophets are doing things which now they are actually the one they caught in Australia, or was it Austria? The one who had incest relation with his daughter and she gave 7 children through him. They actually put him in prison because this is a crime according to all countries in the world, I think, except Switzerland. All countries in the world, according to their constitution, this is a crime that will put you in jail. But the prophets of God, that's fine. According to them, this is fine, they can do it. But the countries, they say this is a crime against humanity and against your own children. And so, I threw that one away too early. Furthermore, it says, Jesus, according to John chapter 2, verse 4, said to his own mother, "Woman, what have I to do with you?" She had made a request. She had made a request, and his response to his mother, "Woman, can you, Muslim, say to your mother, 'Woman'? Can you say to a woman in the street, 'Woman'? She will slap you. Today, if you say to a woman, 'Woman,' she will throw a shoe at you if she can't slap you. Let alone your mother. Now, how did Allah describe in the Quran? قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ أَتَانِيَ الْكِتَابِ وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ وَأَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ مَا دُمْتُ حَيًّا وَبَرًّا بِوَالِدَتِي وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْنِي جَبَّارًا شَقِيًّا. The first thing Jesus said when he was born to defend his mother and her honor, he said, "I am the slave of Allah. He has given me the scripture and he made me a prophet. And he made me blessed wherever I may be. And he enjoyed upon me prayer and paying zakah as long as I'm alive. And he made me dutiful to my mother. And he did not make me arrogant or wretched." So if anyone now can tell his mother, "Woman," and find a problem in that, when Allah says, وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا, don't say to them even "uff," don't even be displeased with them with your expression, not even is not allowed in Islam. To say that Jesus spoke to his mother in this way, we as Muslims say, no way. And any book which teaches that, we will reject. Sorry. I just can't believe Jesus did that. Because Allah said something, and this book is saying something else. And we have to go with what is in agreement with logic after we go in what is agreement with revelation. And both support our view. The belief in the last day, it is clear in Islam. We have a grave, we have a questioning in the grave, we have resurrection, we have reckoning, and we have paradise and hell. I was going to quote all the ayat, but this is already clear. Any non-Muslim can read the Quran, and he will find this all over the Quran. And there are many ayat to this effect. However, when it comes to Christianity, you will find that depending on the denomination, they have their own belief. There isn't anything really that is confirmed and conclusive per the teachings. For example, some of them say, heaven in which believers enjoy the presence of God, and the other believers and freedom from suffering and sin. This is heaven. According to others, hell, they will say, where unbelievers are or sinners are punished. Hell is where unbelievers or sinners are punished. And now views differ as to whether hell is eternal, and whether it is a punishment or whether its punishment is spiritual or physical. First, they differ whether this is going to last forever or not. Then, is it actually physical punishment or spiritual? Meaning some say it is the idea of being away from God. There's no fire, there's no burning, there's no the things which you find described in the Quran and even in the Bible. No, these they set aside. It's just a spiritual kind of punishment. For example, if one wants to punish another person, he may put him behind bars. Physical prison, and not allow him to leave. Or he can simply mentally torture him by telling him things that affect his mentality, and he can let him free. He doesn't mind if he walked around. So this is the idea of distinguishing between physical and spiritual kind of punishment. Some Christians reject the notion altogether. They say the whole thing is nothing. In fact, I know personally a relative of mine from my family side, who is a born-again Christian, that explicitly told me, "I don't even believe there's such a thing. It's just being away from God, that's it." So she has her own private belief system in terms of heaven and hell. Last but not least, in regards to Qadr, decree, preordainment, the Christians differ extensively. The Muslims, the aqeedah is there. Now, of course, we know among Muslims, some don't understand it. That's the truth, which we proclaim as well. We have people, qadariya, jabariya, who don't really understand qadar. But according to the Quran, Allah says, وَكَانَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ قَدَرًا مَقْدُورًا. And the command of Allah is a decree determined. إِنَّ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَاهُ بِقَدَرٍ. Everything we have created with a decree. قُلْ لَنْ يُسِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا. Say, nothing will afflict us except that which Allah has written for us. And the Prophet ﷺ said to the companion who was behind him, I believe it was Ibn Abbas, he says, know that if the whole people came together to harm you with something which Allah has not meant written for you, they won't be able to harm you. And if they want to benefit you, they will not be able to benefit you except that which Allah has decreed for you. So we know already what it is. That's why we don't have any superstitious beliefs. Now in the Christian world, they have good luck and bad luck, crossing the fingers, you know, in things of the sort, fortune telling, horoscopes, superstitions in general, different things, number 13, no number 13, and make sure that you're not the 13th person buying an iPhone because it will become an i13. And it's not going to do the job. Of course, you shouldn't be getting an iPhone. But that's besides the point. Or you could be getting an iPhone. I'm saying this from a smartphone point of view, not a religious point of view. So they have all these weird things which makes life difficult. Really, if you think about it, you'll have a very tough life because you're trying to avoid all these things. All these things. You know, people have weird things. If someone walked over you, you know, you will not grow tall again. I don't know about your country, but that's what we had in my country. If one child was lying down on the ground and the other one stepped over them, then they say this young boy or girl will not grow tall again until that person reverses the walk. And we didn't learn this from Islam. So I remember, and I was short, you know, I'm already short, and already had this, you know, I was really troubled with this thing. And so when one of my relatives would walk over me, I feel like my life is going to end. Please, walk back. I can't afford to be any shorter than what I am right now. Let's make lives, even as a child, this is disturbing. It's psychologically disturbing for the children to believe in all these superstitions. You read your horoscope. And who wrote the horoscope? Maybe someone who was high. You know, high on some drugs, drunk off his head, you know, he doesn't know what he's saying. Okay, you know, the jedi, what is it called in English now? I forgot. Whatever, think of any one of them. You are going to find $5 tomorrow, you know, under the table, and a car will run you over and you go to the hospital and die. And so the person sits at home. Say, yeah, I beat them. I'm not going to go out so no car can run me over. Come on, man. You know how many people like you read this, all of them believe the same thing? How is that person going to know? All the people who have this particular name of the Capricorn. There you go, the Capricorn, the jedi. All of them are going to be run over by a car and die? Yeah, and it makes life tough. Alhamdulillah, do we have this problem? We don't have this problem. In fact, we don't even read this. The fortune cookies, you know, you go to a Chinese restaurant and there's a fortune cookie. Say, oh, we don't even open it. The cookie's yummy. But the paper, we don't even read it. We rip it because in our religion, we don't even read this because it will create some satanic whispers in your mind. You start fearing the things. We depend on Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the decree in Islam is clearly defined. So what am I trying to say here? What I'm trying to say is, this is how we separated. We separated because we don't agree on the belief in Allah, nor in the angels, nor in the messengers, nor in the scriptures, nor in the last day, nor in decree. And if you were to evaluate them intellectually and with justice, you will find that everything that Islam presented is sound, accurate, authentic, and makes sense. And everything on the other side is the opposite. Unless you are one of those whom Allah said, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Nay, but it has covered their hearts what they used to earn. If you continue to disbelieve, yes, we believe God will cover your heart so that you don't understand anymore. But you have the right, you have the ability to free yourself from these shackles. And you need to do so very soon. This is not about religions attacking religions. This is not about which religion should I choose. This is about truth, which is Islam, and falsehood, which is everything else. Khalas. I know it sounds arrogant. I know it sounds like this, as you call me, this young, foolish man is talking way ahead of himself. I know. But that doesn't make a difference because that's still the truth. Don't pay attention to me. You may not like my beard and make fun of it, or you may not like my size and make fun of it. But what I'm saying is the truth. And you know it's the truth. Allah knows that in your heart you know it's the truth. You can play games, you can try to make fun of me and try to find a way out. But on the day of resurrection, all of that will be exposed. وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ Everything in the chest will be known and it will be presented before the people, and those who disbelieve will be humiliated before the masses and in the hellfire eternally. So don't damn yourself and bring yourself salvation by believing in what you're supposed to believe. And remember, like I said in the beginning, the only religion which commands you to believe in Jesus, respect him and his mother, is Islam. What it requires of you is an upgrade. You have a system, you have an old Windows or an old antivirus or whatever you want to call it, and it is not going to function. You can't open Word document or Excel or PowerPoint until you upgrade. We're not telling you uninstall Windows and put Macintosh. No, keep your Windows. But you need to upgrade, otherwise what you have is going to be void. What you already believe, which we agree, you have the basics of Windows, but without that update or upgrade, you will not be able to fully utilize that software. And what is, because you have been afflicted with viruses. And what is the antivirus? Islam. Islam is the best antivirus, not Casper, not Norton, nothing else. Islam will come to this very virus in your belief system, and it will extract it in the most, appropriate manner, and it will help you continue. It's not going to tell you, don't believe in this, don't believe in that, and then come accept a new belief. No, upgrade your belief to what is correct and sound. No other religion can make this offer to you. A Jew will have you reject Jesus, a Hindu will have you reject everything about him, and the list goes on. So please reason. And I hope in this 60 minutes or so, you were intellectually analyzing my speech, not emotionally. Because if you have been doing it emotionally, you probably stopped watching by now. Or you're probably typing already a nasty comment on the YouTube. I can already, probably that's what's going to happen. So I hope that Allah Azza wa Jal will grant you this humbleness to Him. Not humbleness to falsehood, because we don't humble ourselves to falsehood. We are proud with the truth, but humble yourself to Him so that He can pave the way for you. What's wrong with saying to God, Allah, guide me? Say, O Creator. Okay, don't call Him Allah if you don't believe in Him yet. Say, O Creator, guide me to the truth. This guy said too many things that I think are insulting and offensive, but maybe he's right. If he's right, guide me to it. If he's wrong, guide me away. You think God will leave you astray? If you are sincere, you will not. You will not be left alone if you are sincere. But if you already have a predisposed position, which you're not willing to give up, then this prayer of yours will be of no real virtue, of no real value either. Because you already have made up your mind before you heard and before you asked. So inshallah, Allah al-musta'an, Allahumma hadina واهدي بنا واجعلنا من المهتدين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى سائر المرسلين. نعم. Any questions? Oh yeah, there's a paper. جزاك الله خير. ما شاء الله. Knife on point, bro. كان تحية ال. Now it's supposed to be masjid, but it says WA. D-H-I-E, that's how I read it. Be prayed after praying Fajr al-Asr. So I don't know what that other word is. Tahiyyatu, we understand. Is it masjid? Is it masjid? Because it's from the sister. Can you send another paper? I don't know what tahiyyatu, unless you mean tahiyyatu al-wada'ad. I mean, it looks like wada', but there's no wada'. Yeah, but this is a W, chief. This is a W like you can't believe. And there's no D at the end. There's I-E. Ala kulli hal, assuming it's tahiyyatul masjid, there's a difference of opinion among the scholars. Some of them say the time of prohibition is the time of prohibition, end of story. You just don't pray. Some of them say the time of prohibition is restricted to the voluntary prayers, general, nawafil mutlaqa. Amma dhawatil asbab, the prayers which are based on a reason behind them, like because you entered the masjid or because you made wudu or istikhara, then they say these are an exception to the rule. You may pray them even at the time of prohibition. So there are two opinions of the scholars, and it's you follow whichever one you think is correct. I cannot, you know, impose on you one fatwa over the other. Now, any questions from the floor? Bismillah. I guess this is not what you were expecting, huh? You're like, what does that have to do with our discussions, man? But, you know, because in the recent times, we had a nice, lovely relationship with the Christians, you know, and with all the comments we received, so we figured, hey, we'll give them a piece of our mind in a manner in which we can explain ourselves. Because they say, you know, what does this guy say? Oh, Merry Christmas is worse than fornication, and worse is, does that mean I can go kill people? We never said that. We never said you can go kill people, fornicate, and drink wine, and then as long as you don't say Merry Christmas, you're fine. All of them are wrong. All of them are wrong. But they think that we're crazy because we say these things. Now you know why we think Merry Christmas is such a big deal. Because it endorses all of that, and we just don't endorse it. Yes, akhi. Aikum salam. Excellent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most wise in what He decrees. And if you notice, the only people, the Muslim male, was allowed to marry from among the women are the people of the book. Not the mushrikeen, not anybody else. Why? Because of what I said in the beginning, akhi. What did I say in the beginning? We separated. We were supposed to be the same. We have the same tenets of faith. We have the same tenets of faith. We separated. Because of that closeness, and because of the high probability of that lady becoming a Muslim, Islam allowed that, but it did not encourage it. So what I'm saying is, and why did it make only a man allowed to marry a woman, not the other way around? Because the man, in by default, is the one in charge. And so his effect on the woman will be of such where it is very likely, Zakallah Khair, that she will enter into Islam, even though she may not. But because they are people of the book, they are closer, and there's a high probability of them entering Islam, Allah Azza wa Jal allowed it but did not encourage it. And this is a principle. Not everything that is allowed is necessarily encouraged. That's why the scholars say now, if there's a Muslim sister that needs a husband, a brother doesn't go marry a Christian lady and he leaves the Muslim sister. And Allah placed another condition, al-muhsanat. They have to be chaste. Yani she has to be such a righteous woman. Now, how many do we know of them today that don't have boyfriends? She has to be such a righteous woman, which means already she has some morals that will really make her closer to Islam. That is the one you're allowed to marry. Any other woman, no. Even among the Jews and the Christians. So it's because of that. Allah Azza wa Jal allowed it, but did not encourage it. And in this... Yes, I'm sorry.
My second question is, Allah says in the Quran that there is no distinction among the prophets.
Now.
But we say generally that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best of the prophets, the leader of the prophets, and he's the greatest prophet. So isn't there a contradiction?
No, there isn't. Excellent question. The contradiction would be when we say, we Muslims make no distinction between them, and then we turn around and say, yeah, but we don't believe in that one. Or that one had a problem. The distinction that is being spoken about here, akhi, is in terms of belief and honor. We make no distinction in believing in all of them and honoring all of them. But now in terms of the level of honor, we do make a distinction. The best is the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu salam, followed by the Ulul Azm min al-Rusul, the five of stronghold, Jesus, Moses, Abraham and Noah. Then followed everyone else. So that kind of distinction is made. For example, we say we don't make a distinction between Indians and Pakistanis. Maybe some people don't like that one because they insist on that distinction. But we should be all brothers in faith. We should be. Or Palestinian and Syrian or Egyptian and Lebanese, whatever. We make no distinction as in we believe all these are brothers. But then we can say, for example, Egyptian people are known for being people that are, you know, smart or they have such and such qualities. That does not mean that the rest are bad. It just means that they have an edge in this regard. Whereas the Lebanese are like that, and the Indians are like that, and the Pakistanis are like that. So we believe in all of them. We honor all of them as one brotherhood, but we mention the virtues they have over each other, as opposed to contradicting them and belittling them, which is what we don't do. Ahsan, excellent question. Assalamu alaikum, brother. Wa alaikum salam. After every lecture, could we have notes from you? At least a list of references used in the lecture. as much as I would like to do so, as difficult as it is. Because like I said, some of these things are there, printed. And some of them are handwritten, which no one can read, including myself sometimes. Okay? And so my handwriting stands out in comparison to all doctors which you have seen. It's worse than all of them, alhamdulillah. So it may not be of that benefit. And it's complicated. How am I going to give you access to it? Because it was Word document. Then from there, it goes through a long process before you see this here. This is usually a very long process. And then it goes through very many different changes. So I cannot promise you to share them, but I will try my best. The essay. There must be an essay every lecture, guys. Just keep it as a qa'idah, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. At working conditions, they wish Merry Christmas endlessly. Tell me about it. And my brother here are not allowed to deal illegal in the country rules at work. Anyhow, if dealt somehow to some little extent, they are arrogant enough to come up with weird reasons like it is not a national holiday, but a cultural holiday. We don't believe in Christianity. It's a personal issue. Don't interfere on the hand. They will be amiable with me by asking about my family, etc. Joking. Please advise how to encounter such a situation. Then in working condition, Barakallah feek, sorry, couldn't brief more. Yes, no problem. I should have read the apology before I made that comment. Let me see if I understand this correctly though. So the problem is with Muslims, I guess. And correct me guys, you heard the whole thing. So you're dealing with Muslims who are telling you take it easy. You know, why are you being so tough? Kind of, you know, loosen a little bit and be more lenient and just deal with Christmas. It's not a really religious thing, it's a cultural thing. Really, it's a cultural thing? Who are you fooling? Who are you fooling? What do you think Christmas is? It's Christ Mass. It comes from the words Christ and Mass. And you know the Mass that they have in church. The word itself is based on that. The idea is Jesus being born on the 25th of December. There's no way around it. If the people have turned it culturally because they like gifts, it does not change the fact that it is a religious holiday. And we've explained, please, I'm not going to say this again because they're going to misquote me again and put it again on YouTube and say that this guy, watch the lecture, can I celebrate this? Okay, any Christian who has a problem with what I've said before about Merry Christmas, please, watch the lecture, can I celebrate this? It's on YouTube, and there's a special segment dedicated to Christmas where I explained elaborately why we don't involve ourselves in it as Muslims. I think it's fair. You owe it to yourself to hear the whole discussion in its right context as opposed to one sentence where an answer was given to one Muslim at the end of the lecture like right now. So even to that person, please watch the lecture. I explained the seriousness of such a statement if one were to say it. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. As you said, first comes logic, then the revelation. Oh. No. I said revelation, then logic. I never said logic, then revelation. Meaning, if something in the revelation is illogical, will you reject it? La. An-nas. An-nas wa an-naql qabla al-aql, as they say. The textual evidence precedes your intellect. You use the logic to understand the textual evidence. I did not say that logic comes before revelation. I said revelation. Even in the sentence I gave, I began with the sentence, said revelation, logic, after believing in revelation. I remember myself, because I realized that sentence may have been misunderstood. I quickly fixed it by said believing logic after having believed in revelation. So please, you know, don't misquote me. We're still in the lecture. It is happening already. Then there are a few issues on ruling in Islam that you have to do without using logic. Exactly. That's exactly what we say. If Allah gave you this vast intellect that you can understand everything in Islam, I say to you, congratulations. مَن يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. If Allah intends goodness for you, He will give you this understanding of the religion. However, if there are elements of the deed you don't understand, I'm not going to tell you then based on logic you reject them. No, Habibi. You say, I believe in Allah, my mind just doesn't grasp it. You accuse yourself of not being able to intellectually comprehend something that Allah revealed and is true. But we don't use the other way around, otherwise the religion will be lost. So our belief system, alhamdulillah, is logical because Allah created this logic in us. But we don't use it to believe. We use it to understand the revelation in which we believe. So I hope that is clear. I'm glad that question was asked. Then, just in case there was a misconception, alhamdulillah, it would be removed by now. Any questions from the floor, guys? He started first. Ma'alish. Tfaddal.
Nowadays, people, they download softwares and like Adobe Photoshop and games through some sites.
Wait, I'm sorry. Is this question related to the topic?
No.
Drop it. Drop it, Habibi. Ma'alish. Zakallah khair. I forgot to say at the beginning, we want to stick to the topic as much as possible. As much as possible, because we go into a very technical issue here. Related to the topic? Walaikum salam. Tafadhal.
You mentioned about how Christianity and Islam differ about God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you quoted, he rests in Christianity. What about istiwa al-arsh?
Aywa. The word istiwa, it occurs in the Quran in different forms. لِتَسْتَوُوا عَلَى ظُهُورِهِ صحيح؟ نعم. الاستواء حبيبي in the language means rising above, ascending. When it is followed by the preposition عَلَى, it means to rise above something. No contact necessary. No contact necessary. The term استواء is not استراحة or استراح. Istawa ay ya'ni, he rose over the throne, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a manner befitting his greatness and majesty, which is beyond human comprehension. The greatness of Allah is that which you cannot put your fingers on. It's just that. So Allah rose over the throne. As the Aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah explained in lectures before and in the Aqidah classes on the website. But it does have nothing to do with resting. They're saying he was refreshed. He rested because of the fatigue associated with creating the heavens and the earth in 6 days. They're not speaking about God rising over the throne in this sense. Did the lady, the young girl, bring anything? No? She just walked around. Oh. A receipt. Let's see what these people have been buying lately, man. Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. I thought you would say that about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Bible, Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 12 and 14. I have yet many things to say unto you, but we cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you unto all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he hears, there's something, another word before, he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come, he shall glorify me. Well, I mean, the discussion was not about the prophecy of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Bible. We did not really go there. Otherwise, you are absolutely right. This can be quoted in particular context, and it is. But I did not mention it because it wasn't part and parcel of the topic. Otherwise, if we were to take these issues, whether the prophecy or the mention of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam in the Quran, in the Bible, and many different things, then it will be a 3-4 hour lecture. So I'm glad you mentioned it though. Alhamdulillah, Allah decreed that this is mentioned so the audience in the world can hear this. And this is one of the evidences used by Muslims that the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam was prophesied in the Bible. And Jesus said that he will come and that he will speak. He will speak not on his own self. Just like the Quran says, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. He does not speak of his own desire. And that it will be the words of God put in his mouth. That's why every surah begins with بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. So yeah, you're right. This is absolutely right. But I'm sorry I didn't quote it. I didn't think that it would fit in the outline. That's all. But excellent quotation. Yes, sir.
He said that God, the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Ghost is God. So, if the and those three are one, but if the Son will die, all are die, or there's two left. And then they said that there's two left. So, where is one there?
That's what we've been saying though. That's exactly what we've been trying to ask, and we can't get an answer, because I've heard from one of them, either James White or the other one, that when Jesus died, God was still there running the universe. But then on the other hand, they say they're co-equal, co-eternal, co-existent, according to some. So that is a major conflict. This is the very conflict we have. That's why we say such belief introduced by Paul and shaped by him, then accepted widely, contradicts the very message of Jesus, who said, I of myself can do nothing, as in John chapter 5, verse 30. I judge as I hear, and my judgment is righteous, for I do not seek my own will, but the will of He who sent me. So Jesus made a distinction between His will and the will of God, and that He can't do anything unless God helps Him, and He judges as He hears. He doesn't know the unseen. This is the belief of Islam about Jesus, according to the even biblical text. The creed or the dogma in Christianity conflicts with the Quran, with Jesus, and with logic. So that very question of yours, we have actually been presenting to the Christians, hoping to get a satisfactory answer. And the best they have done is that we are not intelligent enough to understand it. Nor are other Christians intelligent enough to understand it from among other denominations. Only the speaker who will answer you seems to understand. And so we say, yeah, that's a problem. Because maybe you don't understand. And we all understand. Seems we're the one understanding, you're not understanding. But Allah musta'an, man, it's just amazing when people don't see right in front of them, you know? Allah musta'an. Barakallah feek. Related or unrelated? Tawaddal. People want to go home.
We use verses from the Bible, like the ones you just quoted, to refute Christianity, right? Refute modern day Christianity, like the advent of, like, talking about Prophet Muhammad.
Yes.
And then we say that we use some other verses, like you used in the lecture, to say that stuff in the Bible is false, right? Like,
yes.
Right? So how do we make peace between the two? Like,
beautiful.
Some of it is true and some of it is false.
Well, you just answered it. You just answered it. Some of it is true. Some of it is false. What is our standard Islamically? Standard. Let's see. Because we look at it as Israeliyat. And when it comes to the Israeliyat, the Israelites stories which we have, Islam says, if there's a story about the Bani Israel, and Jesus was from Bani Israel, if it agrees with Islam, we accept it. If it disagrees with Islam, we... If it neither agrees nor disagree, we don't say anything. We neither accept nor reject. Because we may accept something which is true, or we may reject something which is false. Oh no, we may accept something which is false, or reject something which is true. And you finish in the sentence, come on, huh? You see what I'm saying, Habibi? So this is our very, very rational, actually, and safe position. So when I quote some things from the Bible, these are the ones in agreement with what Islam teaches, because the Quran has a privilege that the Bible doesn't have, being authoritative, being preserved. So it is a reliable reference to use it as a yardstick to measure others. Otherwise, if it conflicts with the Quran, we know for sure it is not from Allah, because Allah is not going to create, He's not the creator of confusion, even per the Bible. You see? But in terms of this methodology, some people don't like it. Say, why are you quoting the Bible and this and that? Say, look, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah did it. Ibn Qayyim did it, rahimahullah. And you know, this is something that is known among the ulama. We use it only, not because we're trying to seek hidayah to Allah through the biblical teachings. Because the Quran is sufficient. Muhaymin. It supersedes all others. But we use it as supporting evidence to show them what they don't know. Now, you know how many Christians heard this lecture have no idea that this is in the Bible? Not, most of them don't know. They're hearing this for the first time. So we're only quoting it so they will know it. Not because, you know, we're, you know, what you mentioned earlier. Nah. Okay, guys. Well, there you have it. Inshallah ta'ala, if we all remain alive and healthy. Today is what? The second? 2 weeks from now, which is the 16th of February. I'm sorry. January. I'm excited. We'll be having a lecture titled Breaking the Barriers. Breaking the Barriers. It will be probably later than 8 o'clock. Maybe around 8:15, depending on how late Salah time will come. But anyways, as you all know, you should receive an SMS. If you have not been receiving an SMS, come and write it down on this your phone number. Don't write your email or your name, just your SMS number here, your phone number, I'm sorry. And we will put you on the SMS list. The next time there's a lecture, you will be notified accordingly. There's another question here, Jama'at al-Khair. People have children, have to go to school tomorrow. Or school is over, huh? For some time at least. Assalamu alaikum. Both Islam, Muslim and Christian believe in... Yeah, I was going to speak about that. I don't know how to pronounce it. It's from the Catholic religion. Maybe someone can correct me. I have it here. I deliberately skipped it. Let me get it from me because I think the spelling here is a little different than what I'm familiar with. Number two. It's not going to be number two. Christians. Sorry, guys. Hang in there. Bismillah. Yeah. The purgatory? Purgatory. Maybe it depends on the Filipino accent, man. I don't know if this is, you know, the Filipino accent is different. But per the Filipino accent, purgatory. Do Muslims believe in that, which is a temporary place of punishment for Christians who have died with unconfessed sins? No, we don't believe it's temporary. We believe it's permanent. Anyone who died after having received the message of Islam while not accepting it, it is not something that is temporary. And so, do both Muslims believe in that? No, we don't believe in it as in the same sense as Catholics. By the way, this is, as far as I know, is particular to the Catholic Christians. Even other denominations among Christianity reject this idea. Because confessing sins, you know, what's the idea of confessing sins? What if someone went to the church to confess to that priest, and the priest was on vacation, and they died? Does that person, do we say, well, he has unconfessed sins, are they to be treated in this fashion and be punished for that? So they mean the idea of confessing to a creature is rejected in Islam. You confess your sins to who? To Allah. Who? Why? Because only Allah can forgive them. So telling anybody else is not really going to do any good. So that's the major distinction between the two. Now, so Jazakumullah khair. Look forward to seeing you all in the future, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.